still studying time, kairos, which is time that is different than our time. So let's go to first Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 4, it defines, if you look at it carefully, it defines Abraham as the perfect Christian, which is interesting. But anyway, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the glory and in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us, unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And due time is kairos. Again, always meaning that something that's totally unexpected happens. Like telephones. All right, now let's look at it again in Romans 13. Starting verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time that now is, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed, or when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Knowing, and again in verse 11, knowing that the time, that now it is high time, and knowing the time that now it is high time to wake out of sleep.
Which one of those is Kairos?
Both. In the ceremony at Rosh Hashanah, it has this same concept that you stop chasing the vain shadows and awaken. From God's perspective, everything that our mind does and everything the human race does, except repent, is being asleep. And in total repentance, you awaken. But everything else is asleep. Everything else is chasing the shadows of a dream. Everybody understand that? So the time here is to wake up. And what do you wake up to?
Faith.
His faith. His life. His purpose. Let's look at that great prayer in Ephesians. Ephesians, blah, blah, blah. I don't remember which verse. My Bible is falling apart. The Bible, I mean, it just pages get old because you just get torn.
You have another Bible.
Don't, I know. I'm afraid I'll ruin it if I use it. It's chapter 1, verse 15.
What book are we in?
We're
Ephesians.
Ephesians. We're talking about the prayer of waking up. Everything you do as a human being, everything you do as your mind, is as if you were operating within a dream. Because you're the center of it. You and yours. Now watch this prayer that Paul prays, starting verse 15, chapter 1. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Period. No. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Not of you, not of things happening to you, but in the knowledge of him. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. No. Of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of your inheritance? No. What the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then it finally gets us. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So everything removes you from the picture if you're awake. If you're still asleep, then even the mystery of God will be corrupted to see what it means to you. Remember, that veil that's over us is really a mirror. And so everywhere you look and everything you hear, you say, what does this mean to me? How can I use this? Is this something that will benefit me or will hurt me? You are the subject of your world. Now you finally wake up and you see only his world, his calling, his wisdom, his revelation. Is that clear? Aren't you tired of making you the subject of your sentence, even in Bible study? Does this ever have it? Does this have anything to do with your life when you go out and work? When you go out and do your whatever you do in the day? Do you ever remember any of this?
Of course.
Back to Romans 13. Verse 11. And that knowing the time that now is, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we first when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. The day, when it says the day is at hand, it means it's the right translation is the day is here. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. So what are the works of darkness? Anything that you can conceive of is the works of darkness. Anything that you plan is the works of darkness. Because it originates in that which is darkness, your mind. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 4. Verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by or of myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. Judge nothing before the time. And what's the time? It says what the time is. Until the Lord come, or till the Lord be revealed, parousia, until he be revealed as your only life. Who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Let's go to Matthew 7. Verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, it shall be judged. You shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. There's a, when it talks about the work of the Holy Spirit in John 16, Jesus said when he has come, he will do three things. He will convict the world of sin, but the only sin is that you believe not on him. Your 100% reliance is not on him. You do sometimes when you're in trouble, but most of the time you lean in your own arm of understanding. So the first one is he'll convict the world of sin, because they believe not of me. But then it's a biggie. Of judgment. Because the prince of the world has been judged. Any other judgment comes from another source. Comes from the evil one. It comes, you judge for what you are guilty of. Can you understand that? whatever you judge someone else, that's what you're judging yourself, because you're guilty of the thing that you're judging. Kind of removes the playing field. Judge nothing before the time. Let's go to John 16, see, just make sure I didn't make it up.
Sorry, where?
John chapter 16, I think.
In the Gospel of John?
John,
first John, doesn't he know? I'm sorry, Steve. Higher math is a little hard this time of morning.
Sorry.
Oh. Yeah, John 16. Let's start in verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. They shall put you out of the churches. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And the word service is that word litril, and it means the service in the temple. Whoever killeth you will think that he doeth God holy service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things that's Chronos there. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Excuse me. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter. That's a terrible translation. It's called the Paraclete. And that's what they translate as Comforter.
One who clings to us, Paraclete?
One who lays down beside you. That's what it literally means. I go not away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And listen, this is the stuff. This is what he's going to do. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. That is so incredible. If you just use that with regard to your mind, in terms of bringing, your mind wouldn't have a chance. Your mind cannot stand against it. Is finished. There's nothing in your mind that would agree with that, because it doesn't look like it's finished. There's nothing in your mind that would agree that every knee is bowing and every tongue is confessing that Jesus is Lord. Because it's obvious, they're not. But it is true, because everything is happening according to the plan of God. Therefore, the tongue and the knee is bending, and the tongue is confessing. That's all it can, it can't be anything but what he planned. But what he planned is for you to see the end of what your mind says, so that repentance is possible, so that you will abandon yourself and live by faith alone. Why is it so difficult to leave your mind and your emotions behind you? Why? Is there something in there that's been working for you? If it has, it'll just last a little bit, then everything will go to hell again. saith not. Therefore, well, let's go there. I'm going to quit doing it because people think I made it up. Go to Isaiah 57. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace, they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But as for you, draw near hither, you sons of the sorceress and the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourself? Against whom do you make a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks? Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed. And even there wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also and the posts. Now this is all talking about what you do in your mind. You understand? Behind the doors also and the posts hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them. And thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. And thou wentest to the king, and the king here is not Melech, it's Molech. One vowel point difference. And Molech, you're Antichrist. You're instead of Christ. You're mine. Thou wentest to the king with ointment, and did increase thy perfumes, and did send thy messengers far off, and did debase thyself even unto hell, consumed with self-seeking. That's what it means to debase yourself into hell. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. Now, as we've said many times, to each of us that has happened thousands upon thousands of times. We are wearied in the greatness of your way, of our way. Things look terrible. We don't say there's no hope, or we haven't, because we find the life of our own hand. Therefore, we're not grieved. Therefore, we can't repent. So you go, and then even for some, you become a believer, and then you rebuild everything that you destroyed. Therefore, you make yourself a transgressor again. And you do it in the name of God. You say, God is blessing me. Does anybody understand?
Isn't there a scripture where if you fall away again, it's impossible to be renewed?
It's Hebrews 6. Let's go there. Well, let's start in chapter 5. talking about Christ, after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 8, it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, from God's perspective, good and evil is an interesting thing here, because you discern the difference between soul and spirit. If you go to a Benny Hinn crusade, you know, and the music is just right, and the lighting's just right, and the crowd is, and pretty soon they have this wild experience, and they say, it's the anointing. And so they say, that's the Holy Spirit. But we are to have our senses exercised by use so that we know and live the difference between soul and spirit. Our minds, the mind of Christ. No, that's not what we're studying. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. This we will do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew themselves, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. But it's only those that have tasted, so that the word was becoming meat. They've eaten it. They've eaten of the flesh of the Son of God. But if you've only had the milk of the word, then you haven't tasted. Anyway, so right now, don't worry about the one that's fallen away, because, well, I just don't think it applies here. I don't feel like talking anymore. I mean, people probably say yay, but anybody have any response to this? No questions? Everybody understands perfectly. Take a big gun.